Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Public radio listeners will recognize the voice and the name of my next guest because she has been a regular panelist on NPR's news quiz Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me for more than a decade. It's comedian and podcaster Paula Poundstone. Paula just started touring again for the first time since the COVID lockdown started, and she's got an upcoming show at Town Hall in New York City on October 7th at 8 p.m. Tickets are available at townhall.org. And Paula joins me now. Hi, Paula.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. So when you think about it, when you sit down and think about it, what have you been most looking forward to about performing in person again?
Oh, well, the audience is my best friend. And so, you know, that feeling of belonging, that feeling of sort of shared laughter, especially, but shared emotion, you know, we've all run the experiment in our own homes now, which is there's such a difference between watching something and enjoying it, you know, from your couch, which is great. But when you're a part of a whole audience, the response is different. You hear things that you wouldn't have heard unless the person beside you heard them. You just experience things differently. So just that sort of communal experience is so wonderful and so necessary for us as a species. Speaking of species, I'm also working on a new path of monitoring finches, which I'm very excited about.
I'll make sure you and Kate get each other's emails. You guys just go at it. And in that spirit,
I really appreciate
in that spirit of community. Like, you know, we love that here at Live Radio. So I'm using this as the opportunity to throw the phones open, everybody. Maybe you have a question about what it's like to do comedy these days, or a question about Paula's tenure and Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, or maybe you just want to tell Paula she's great or get a hot take. Our phone lines are open, everybody. 646-435-7280, 646-435-7280. Of course, you can also reach out to us on social media at All of It WNYC, same handle on Twitter and Instagram. So, you know, over the past year, we've all had to pivot. We've all had to figure out how to do what we do in a different way. And one of the things you started was this game show called Nobody Asked You. What made you start doing this, this Zoom game show?
Well, you know, for musicians, they could do a concert from their living room, and it was all so wonderful. And people were, oh, isn't that beautiful? Oh, and it was so intimate, and it was Mary Chapin Carpenter in her living room. Oh, and her dog came in. Oh, isn't that beautiful? And as a comic, you know, when the stay-at-home murder first started, all these charity organizations for whom I was already on the schedule to do their gala, their big once-a-year fundraiser, or I had been unable to do their gala, their once-a-year fundraiser, because I was supposed to be working someplace else. Well, now they knew I wasn't working someplace else, so. I mean, literally every day I was doing Zoom fundraisers for one very worthy organization or the other. But it was new territory for them, too, obviously. So they would say, like, oh, well, you can just from your living room. That'll be fine. Oh, we'll laugh, they would say. And a couple times I was stupid enough to, because I kept going, well, I don't see how that will. And so a couple times I was stupid enough to do it. And, oh, my gosh, it was good to get back to bombing, which, you know, I really hadn't done since I started out. I mean, bad bombing. And so I realized, like, okay, the living room thing ain't happening. So there has to be another way of you know, doing comedy, communicating, connecting with an audience, you know, helping get people through, by the way, which I felt was part of my mission. And I like to be able to interact with, you know, with the audience, which is, you know, all of which was a high bar for Zoom. But anyways, so I decided to start this really goofy homemade game show. And I did it every Sunday for months and months and months. And it was fun. It was a lot of fun. I mean, there were elements of it that would be replicable in the real world. But it was just a way to connect, you know, just a way to lift people a little bit. I had, you know, we decided who went first, because it was a game show where you answer questions about a friend. And we decided who went first by taking a tennis ball into the backyard with my dog Mo, and I would have somebody tell me whether or not Mo would be able to catch the ball with no bounces. And if they guessed correctly, then, you know, then they went first.
Makes sense.
People got points. I have 10 cats. People got points if they chose which cat would be wearing a necktie when we went and looked for them. So there was a large element of silliness to it. And of course, when did you ever need silliness more than during the, you know, the year and a half of the, you know, stay at home order and the terrible mess that we've been in.
What are your 10 cats' names?
Let's see. Wednesday, Mrs. Fezziwig, ShamWow, Theo, Severus, Harrison, Hardy, Lawson, Nash, and there's one missing. I can't remember which one I'm not.
We'll just call him Cat.
Getting. Yeah. Dear kitty.
Bad
that's
cat.
The last one.
Yeah. I knew that
yeah,
list.
Yeah, and Finch. That's it. Finch. Sure. Surely.
I knew that list would not disappoint. Not in the least, my guess.
No, it's a good list. You know, people occasionally ask me if I can name all my cats, and generally speaking, I can. But the truth is, if I didn't name all my cats, Tonks, that's the last one. If I didn't name all my cats, no one else would know it.
That's what you think.
I mean, I could just be George Foreman and say, you know, Tonks, 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 and Tonks.
No, they get together and talk about you afterward. They're like, she
can't
even remember Tonks' name.
You know,
she didn't even know.
A lot of times they leak information to the finches that I'm monitoring, and that's been a problem. Been a big problem.
My guest is Paula Poundstone. Hey, Lori is calling in from Ossining on line one. Hi, Lori. Thanks for calling All of It. You're on the air with Paula.
Hey, Paula. Hey, Allison. So pleased that Paula will be coming to the Tarrytown Music Hall. Just bought my tickets this morning. My entire yoga class was going to go, and then because of the pandemic, it got canceled twice, so we are very excited. And I thought the missing cat's name was going to be either Butterfinger or Twinkie. I don't know.
You were so close.
As somebody pointed out,
they changed the recipe for Butterfinger, so they're repulsive now. But they were at one point an important life staple. Wait a minute, back up. So your yoga class is coming?
Oh, my God. We all love you. Yes, yoga. You're totally popular in the yoga scene. You didn't know that?
I didn't know that. I am so flattered. You know what? I am going to specifically learn some moves so that I can do some performance yoga that night. I'm really excited now. In fact, right now while I'm talking to you, I'm putting my knee behind my head, honestly.
Lori, thanks for calling in. The flexible love, Paula Poundstone, who is our guest at the moment. Let's go to Naomi on line two, who has a question for you, Paula. Hi, Naomi. You're on with Paula Poundstone.
Hi. How are you guys? Paula, I love you. I've been listening to you on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me for years. If you're welcome. And if your best friend is us, I feel like you are my best friend, too, in that radio kind of way. And I was wondering, how do you know that what you're going to say is funny? I mean, I can hear a pause sometimes before you say something, But what is going through your head? How do you know it's going to be funny? How do you know it's going to be amusing?
You know, it's a crapshoot. I mean, I've been getting a response of laughter for a long, long time from many of the things that I say. And certainly I occasionally say something that just sort of isn't gonna work. On the other hand, I have also had the experience of thinking something that I thought was funny, right? Just like in the middle of the day somewhere, and jotting it down in my notebook and then throwing it out on stage and just getting very little response or nothing. And saying to myself, no, you know what? There's something here. And then trying it again and again. And eventually, and I have one example, which is I used to do a thing about a Snickers bar commercial years ago where it was like one of those where they're acting like they're interviewing people who eat Snickers bars. There's a girl brushing a horse, and this, you know, Snickers bar interviewer, who would otherwise be Finch monitoring, goes over to this woman and he says, what time of day do you enjoy a Snickers bar? And she says, along about noon. And then she says, when your appetite's, and she has a horse brush in her hand and she gesticulates with the horse brush pointing forward. And she goes, along about noon, when your appetite's poking at you. And each time she says poking at you, she sticks out the horse brush. And I just thought that was the stupidest commercial in the world. And so I would talk about, you know, how I thought she improvised the physical gesture of poking at you, and she auditioned for that role. And someone wrote that script, by the way, which means it was typed up. Someone typed it. Someone might have jotted it down in handwriting at one point, but then they felt good about it, and they typed it up and submitted it. And it was reviewed and altered slightly. It used to be worse. And so I would talk about this on stage, and I'm telling you, the first times I talked about it, just nothing. I would sort of do it more for myself. I just thought it was so amusing that I would do it for myself. And then eventually, I did it on an HBO special. And to this day, I get people coming up to me, you know, with their iPhones or their smartphones with their cameras, saying, can you just stand beside me and do poking at you? My mother's on the phone. Will you just say poking at you to her? So sometimes it's a leap of faith. Sometimes it's, and the other thing is that I have an audience that comes to see me on purpose. And so I already know that they trust me a little bit. So it's not like I'm coming from out of left field. You know, it's not like I'm saying something that, you know, some other comic entirely would find amusing, but my crowd wouldn't.
My guess is, yeah. So there you go.
That's how you are.
Naomi calling from Brooklyn. Thanks for calling in. Hey, I want to play, you know, you have this podcast, for people who don't know, called Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. And I want to play the intro from it and then ask you a question about it on the other side.
Coming to you live from our houses in Los Angeles, California, it's Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, your comedy field guide to life. Tonight, feeling lonely? Why would that be? Has something happened on a global scale or something? It's weird. Anyway, if you are lonely, you're in good company. And that company tonight is lecturer at Harvard Medical School and founder of the Unlonely Project, Dr. Jeremy Nobel. Plus, you asked for it, you got it. A lot of listener feedback without a theme. Why do you hate themes? Okay, well, themelessness is the theme as we bring you a variety pack of input from our nobodies on Mailbag, Gallimaufry Edition. I'm Adam Felber, this podcast Diogenes, wandering alone through this wilderness of nonsense, searching for one decent through line. And now, please welcome the woman who manages to get in raucous arguments even when she's alone, Paula Poundstone.
So, Paula, you have an incredible array of guests. Some names I can't say as I looked through the podcast feed. You have this expert on loneliness. You have Harry Potter experts. What do you want listeners to take away from these conversations, no matter who you're talking to?
A little piece of information. You know, as our last caller may have been inferring, you know, not everybody's going to find every single thing that I or we, in terms of my podcast, say hysterically funny. There's enough funny, I would hope, on any given show that it really does entertain people. But you know what? If you listen to my podcast, nobody listens to Paula Poundstone, and you go away and go, boy, very funny this week, at least you say, but I found out that if you pour hot water down your toilet on a regular basis, it helps the plumbing. You know, I like the idea that we have a section of the show where we interview someone with knowledge on a topic. And that way there, people go away with a little piece of information. And by the way, it was a couple of years ago we interviewed the plumber, and I am still finding the information they gave me helpful. You're not supposed to put Kleenex down your toilet. Who knew?
My guess.
It has a different weave than toilet paper, and it clogs up the toilet. I'm telling you, it has changed my plumbing life.
I want to get one more caller in here. Jeff from Brooklyn, what can you say to Paula Poundstone in 30 seconds?
Hi, Paula. I got to see you live at the New Jersey Performing Arts Center on Saturday. It was such a joyful experience. I just wanted to say thank you so much and to encourage anybody listening, everybody listening, to come see you live. It's a profound experience.
Jeff, thank you for calling
That in. Is so nice to hear. Thank you very, very much. That was a really fun audience in New Jersey. That's where some of the fun audiences are kept.
My guest has been Paula Poundstone. She will be in New York on October 7th for a show at Town Hall. Paula, thanks for making a smile.
Thank you very much. I just also have to say that the New Jersey Finches can be obstinate. Thank you so much. It was great talking with you.
And that's all of it for this hour.